This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My son Naftali told me about a sefer, Siach Chanukah Upurim, from Rav Chaim Knievsky. So I said, is Zundel Berman open Matzah Shabbos? Said, yeah, it's open. So my family ran to Z Berman, and could I have Siach Chanukah Upurim? They're out of it. So what am I going to do? Not that there's a shortage of material, so it's on Oitzer HaChochma. So that was good. I have it. Sometimes you go looking for something, and it's right in your backyard. So I already had it. Anyway, the Reb Chaim Knievsky points out that Klal Yisrael were encamped in Rephidim when Amalek attacked. If you in B'shalach, Perak Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, it says Vayachanu b'Rephidim, and then the pasuk says Vayavoy Amalek Vayilachem im Yisrael b'Rephidim. So it says Rephidim twice. The only thing is, the first time it says Rephidim Male with two yuds, and the second time it says it chaser beis reish pe yud dalid mem, no second yud. Why? That's Reb Chaim Knievsky points this out. There's a mechilta. The mechilta says why Rephidim rafu yideya midivrei Torah. They slackened in learning, and therefore Amalek came. Interestingly, if you look in the Gemara Mecharis Daf Hamad Beis, Rabbi Lezer says Rephidim was its name. Rephidim wasn't. Rabbi Yeshua says no, that wasn't the name. They slackened in learning. That's why it's called Rephidim. The name of it was kitchen sink Persia, but they called it kitchen sink Egypt. But they called it Rephidim because they slackened in learning. It says Reb Chaim Knievsky, according to this, you could say the first Rephidim is the name of the place. The name was Reish Pei Yud Dalid Yud Mem. That was the proper name of the place. The second time, we don't need to know they fought in Rephidim. We already know they were there. Why is it called Rephidim? The second time is because they weakened. To show that they weakened, it's spelled chaser. In other words, they were lacking. They were missing. It says Rephidim to say they were lacking. It says Reb Chaim Knievsky, according to this, it could be there's no machloikis. Is it the name of the place, or is it because they slackened? One of them is talking about, Reb Lezer is talking about the first Rephidim. The first Rephidim is the name of the place. And Reb Yeshua is talking about the second Rephidim. Okay. Now, I want to share with you an amazing rush. The rush says, talking about whether the mitzvah of Zachar is on women. In some communities, women are flocking to Parsha Zachar, like they be giving out hotcakes. Now, I don't know why people, what's so desirable about hotcakes, but I don't, yeah, anyway. And in some communities, women don't necessarily come to Parsha Zachar. Many poskim say that women are not obligated in Parsha Zachar. Simply, why are you remembering to destroy Amalek, to go to war? Well, women are not allowed to wage war, right? They're not b'nei milchama. Or you could say maybe they are b'nei milchama because the Radvaz writes that it says that in a mechames mitzvah, a chasan leaves mechul pasa, the kala mechul pasa. What's the kala doing for the mitzvah? She supplies the sustenance, the food, to the men. But in general, milchama proper, only a man engages in milchama. A woman doesn't engage in milchama. So there's a question. Are women chayiv in zachar? Are they not chayiv in zachar? There's an amazing, also another halacha question is, do you need a minyan for zachar? Or can you just remember it and read it? So the Rush in Masechet Brachos tells us about a story. The story was, Rabbi Elezer entered the shul, and he didn't have a minyan. You know what? I feel much better now. Come to think of it, here, Rabbi Elezer, he came to shul. He's a much bigger rabbi than I am, and he didn't have a minyan. Okay, so you know I'm in good company. Okay, and so what did he do? Shichrar avdai. He freed his slave. V'hishlimay la'asara, and he made a minyan. So Gemara asks, how is he allowed to do that? But Rabbi Yehuda says, anyone who frees his slave is oyver ba'asei. Like it says, la'oylam behem tavoidu. You're not a free slave, you're oyver na'asei. Answers the Gemara, no. Making a minyan is a mitzvah derabim. See, on the one hand, making a minyan is a derabanan. On the other hand, it's even greater than a deraisa because it's a mitzvah derabim. That's the Gemara. Reb Chaim Knievsky quotes a Chazon Ish. Al Chazon Ish held women are not chayiv in zachar. A raya the Chazon Ish brought was from this Gemara Brachais. Frek the Chazonish, why did Rabbi Elazar have to free his slave? If women are chayiv in zachar, and avadim are chayiv in mitzvahs like women, so why do you have to free the slave? The slave is chayiv, so he should be able to be mitzarev to the minion. So the Chazonish brought this as a raya, women are not chayiv in zachar. Again, the proof is, Rabbi Elazar freed his slave. Now you say, well, wait a second, he freed his slave for zachar? So let's come back to the Rush for a moment. The Rush continues, and the Rush says, the Rush asks, what do you mean he's freed his slave to make a minyan? Minyan is only a drabanan, and freeing your slave is a mitzvah, is an iser d'oraisa. So says the Rush, even if a minyan is a drabanan, let's say hearing kedusha, hearing barchu, that has no ikar min haTorah, it still pushes off an aseh diyachid, because a minyan of a rabim, which is a drabanan, is even greater than Isser Dairais of a Yachid. In other words, in the equation of things, it's more important to make a minyan, which is only Drabanan, for 10 people, than for one person to be Mekayim, a mitzvah, one person to observe the mitzvah Dairais of La'olam Bahem Tavaydu. That's the Rush. That a Drabanan Derabim is more valuable than a Asay de Yachid. Says the Rush, maybe not. Maybe it's talking about a minyan Dairaisa, for example, Parsha Zachar. Nah, it's not mashma that he needed the Eved for Parsha Zachar. It's not mashma he needed the Eved. He needed the minyan for a Sunday morning davening. So says the Chazonish. First of all, by the way, you see from here that minyan for Zachar is Dairaisa. Because it's only Drabanan. What's the Rush saying? No, we don't have a Raya. A Drabanan of a Rabim is greater than an Aseh de Yachid. The Rush said, well, maybe it's talking about Parsha Zachar. Okay, Zachar is Dairaisa, but Minyan for Zachar is Drabanan. You see from the Rush, Minyan for Zachar is the Dairaisa. Now, why in the world you would need a Minyan for Zachar, Midairaisa? That's a pella. You don't need a minyan any on Yom Kippur midairaisa. Why would you need a minyan for Zachar midairaisa? But from the Rush you see, aside from whether women are chayv or pater, you see from this Rush, minyan for Zachar is the dairaisa. I wasn't going to get into this, but it's a pella. How in the world could minyan for Zachar midairaisa? I believe the Karen Oira says a svara that since the mitzvah to remember Amalek is in order to destroy Amalek, and that means destroying Amalek with war, Does the mitzvah chal, is it chal, does it devolve on the individual or on the tzibur? The mitzvah to destroy Amalek is on the tzibur. Therefore, the mitzvah to remember is in order to destroy. So therefore, since it's a mitzvah on the tzibur, the minyan for Zachar would be the Eraisa, while minyan for anything else would be the Rabbanan. But back to the ranch, Chazonir says, why if he needed the minyan for Zachar, would he have to free his slave? But if women are chayiv in Zachar, so then the slave is chayiv in Zachar. The slave is chayiv in Zachar, he doesn't have to free him. It's a raya, women are pater from Zachar. That's what the Chazonish said. Now, I was thinking last night, and I remember this morning, that this sounds awfully familiar, because Reb Chaim Knievsky wrote in a footnote on the Chazonish that the Chazonish retracted. Said it's not a raya. Really, women are chayiv. Maybe really women are chayiv in Zachar. Why would he have to free his slave? If women are chayiv, then avodim are chayiv. Avodim are chayiv, they could be part of a minyan. So I remember seeing a tshuva in Shalos HaTshuvos, Binyan Tzion, in the new tshuva, Simen Ches, where Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger basically is saying what the Chazonish concluded, that even if women are chayiv, and Avodim would be Chayiv and Zachar. Just because Avodim are Chayiv and Zachar doesn't mean they could be part of the Minyan. Because we know women are not mitzarif to a Minyan. So just because women are Chayiv in the mitzvah to destroy Amalek, and therefore to hear Parshas Amalek, they're Chayiv in the mitzvah of Zachar, but they still, if Zachar has to be done, v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael, they're not qualified to be B'nai Yisrael. So they could be chayiv in the mitzvah of Zachar, but it doesn't mean they could be mitzarev to a minyan. So what the Chazonish concluded is actually what the Shas Tshuvos Binyan Tzion used to disprove the proof from the Rosh that women are chayiv in the mitzvah of Zachar. Okay, another interesting thing that Rav Chaim Knievsky discusses is when you destroy Amalek, do you make a bracha? What would you say? So Rav Chaim Knievsky writes in his commentary to Megillas Esther on Time of the Krah that when Mordechai hanged Haman, when Mordechai hanged Haman, he made the bracha on Mechias Amalek, he made a Shechianu, he made the bracha to destroy Avodah Zarah because Haman wore an Avodah Zarah around his neck, and also it could be he made the bracha Sha'asali Neis B'Makom Hazeh, maybe because he was supposed to be hanging there. So can you imagine, before Mordechai hanged Haman, maybe he washed Natil Sidayim, he had different kavanos, he made the bracha. Whether it's Limchais Samalik or Al Mechia Samalik, I don't know. But that's what Rav Chaim Knievsky brings. Okay. Another interesting Shaila. We know that when it comes to destroying the Zion Amamin, the Torah says, even though you have to destroy them, V'nasan l'cha rachamim v'richamcha. Hashem will give you mercy. Meaning, there's a concern that by being cruel and killing the enemy, it might engender cruelty within the murderer. So the Torah says that Hashem gives a special haftacha that by eradicating the enemy, it won't corrupt your character. So the question Rav Chaim Knievsky asks is, why doesn't the Torah give this promise by destroying Amalek? Why does the Torah only give this protection of character by the Zion Amamin and not by Amalek? So Rav Chaim says that specifically, I'm sorry, the Pasuk V'nasan L'cha Rachamim V'richamcha is not by the Zayin Amamin, it's by Yer HaNidachas. You have a city that worshipped Avodah Zarah. So Reb Chaim says, because Yer HaNidachas, it's not Mukhruch that it has to be, it didn't have to be. It's not in the reality of creation that there's going to be an Yer HaNidachas. It's people made a bad decision. So since it didn't have to be, if it does happen, the Torah says, we promise you protection. But since Amalek is in the world and has to be in the world, so then it's implicit in creation that it's a mitzvah, so then of course it won't cause any harm. Okay, now I'm going to say, you missed the lamdasha part, but this is what actually Naftali told me about this on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah, not only to destroy Amalek, but also to destroy their possessions. So nowadays, I don't know if that we have a definitive identity of Amalek, Bizman Hazeh. However, even if we don't, there definitely are Amalekim around somewhere. So why don't we do the following? You see the shtender? I'm makne it to an Amaleki. Now who he is, I don't know. I don't have his address. The halacha is, am I allowed to go and pick up something for somebody? Let's say I'm walking down the street and I see a diamond ring. Could I pick it up for Rabbi Mamon? If I wanted to, I could pick it up. And if I pick it up, then you're kind of it, whether I asked you or not, because it's good for you. So why can't I be kind of this item for an Amaleki and then destroy it? And this way I'm a kaim the mitzvah d'oraisa of Mechias Amalek. So just thinking, How am I koined for him? Naftali, how would I be koined for him? The only way I could be koined for him is Zechiah. Because he would want me to be koined for him. But if I'm only koined for him to destroy it, then it's not a Zechiah for him. It's a Zechiah for him? Then the whole Zechiah. Anyway, Reb Chaim didn't give that answer. Reb Chaim said, you can't be Zoicha something for somebody that you don't know who he is. In order to be zoicha for somebody, you have to know his identity. If you don't know his identity, then there is no concept of zochin la'adam shaloi b'fanav. Okay, one more idea. It's very interesting. By the Dor HaMabul it says, emcha es ha'adam me'al p'nei ho'adama. I'm going to wipe out man from on the face of this earth. By Amalek it says, kimachay emcha ezer amalek mitachas ha'shamayim. Why by the Dor HaMabul it says, from the earth, and by Amalek, it's from under the heavens. By the way, it's interesting. You know, the Zohar HaKadosh says that Amalek's souls were in the Dor HaMabel. And it's interesting, I don't remember if the Zohar says this, but the word Emche only appears in two places, by the Dor HaMabel and by Amalek. You know what else it says by the Dor HaMabel? It says, Nichamti, I regret. You know where else it says Nichamti? That Shaul didn't, Hashem says, I regret making Shaul king because he didn't destroy Amalek. Another similarity is, it says by the Dor HaMabel, Rak Ra Kol Hayoim, Sofei Teivos, Amalek. So, but anyway, Reb Chaim Kamsky doesn't make this point. He doesn't draw the analogy between the Dor HaMabel and Amalek. He just asks, why by Amalek it says we're going to destroy them from under the heavens, and by the Dor HaMabel it says from the earth. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says, you could say based on Rashi and Shmuel, that the Amalekim were mechashvim, they were sorcerers, and we know sorcerers like Bilam was able to fly in the air. Therefore, in the Dor HaMabel, they're on the ground, so they needed to be destroyed. Me'al pnei adama. But Amalekim, they're flying in the air on the brooms and flying carpets. So if you're dealing with people on flying carpets, then you need to destroy them mitachas hashamayim. That's Reb Chaim. Or the Mechilta says, Ki machai emcha zecher Amalek, that's Haman. The thing is, Haman wasn't on the ground. He was up in the gallows under the shamayim. But I would answer this question, and I'll let you go after this, that there's a very interesting Mechilta. The Mechilta says that Amalek tried to destroy and remove Klal Yisrael mitachas kanfei hashchina. I think the Lashon is ulahafsikam me'avinu shebashamayim. Amalek tried to sever the connection between us and our Father in Shamayim. So therefore, in order to destroy Amalek, they're coming to corrupt the connection between us and Hashem b'Shamayim. So we have to destroy them mitachas hashamayim, because they're not just trying to destroy us down here. They're trying to sever our relationship between us and Avinu Shebashamayim. Have a good day, everyone.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.